As the Lord Jesus Christ went around conducting his earthly ministry, great multitudes of people followed him. People with physical ailments sought after the Saviour. Matthew 15 and 30 tells us, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And so there was great multitudes of sick people, people with physical ailments that followed Christ. People possessed of devils were sought or were brought to him that he might deliver them. Matthew 8 and 16 tells us, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. And so we see people possessed of devils came in the evening time. Perhaps under the cover of darkness, people were brought who were possessed of devils. And Christ also was able to cure their situation. As the Savior preached and brought God's word, vast crowds of people followed him from place to place. If you think of some of the things which happened as Christ spoke to the people, it shows us the eagerness of the people, the desire of the people just to hear his word. They longed to hear the Savior speak. And we see this in a number of different ways. For example, in Mark 3 and 20 it says, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And so Christ couldn't even get time to eat. He couldn't even find time to refresh himself because the people just desired to hear him speak. They desired to hear his word. And they gathered as he was about to have something to eat. In Matthew 13 and 2, we read of what Christ had to do as the crowd gathered to hear him preach. It says there, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Christ, on this occasion, used a ship as a floating pulpit because of the hugeness of the crowd, because of the multitude. They were pressing upon him. And so he get into the ship and he cast off from the shore and he stood upon the floating pulpit and he preached to the multitudes. He brought God's word to them. Perhaps one of the occasions where we see the hunger for the people to receive spiritual food was in the words of Christ before the Lord Jesus performed the miracle of feeding the 4,000. Christ said to his disciples in Mark 8, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And we can see the desire of these people to receive the word of Christ. They have been with Christ now for 3 days. Their food had run out. There was no food within that region for them to eat, for such a multitude to feed upon. And the situation was this, they had put their physical lives in jeopardy because of their desire to hear Christ speak, because of their longing for his word, from the bread that comes down from heaven. And so they had this desire, this longing for Christ to come and to minister unto them. All of these things teach us the kind of excitement and lure which the ministry of Christ attracted. Great crowds of people following him from place to place just to hear him speak and to see his wonderful works. But the man we are coming to consider this evening was not found among this crowd. He was not found among this crowd that followed Christ around and saw his works or heard his word. And the reason why this man was not found among this group of people which sought the Savior was because he was blind. And his blindness prevented him from following Christ. Instead, his days were spent sitting by the highway outside Jericho, begging for his living. This man's name was Bartimaeus, and he is referred to in Scripture as blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was greatly disadvantaged, unable to follow Christ from town to town and village to village, unable to see his mighty works, unable to hear his word. Any news he knew of Christ or heard of Christ was second hand. He heard it from others. And no doubt, as he sat there by the highway listening to the chatter of people as they walked past, the conversation in those days would all have been about this man Jesus. This man Jesus who was preaching and multitudes were following him. This man Jesus who was performing miracles, who was casting out devils. And as blind Bartimaeus sat there by the wayside, no doubt this is what he heard. The conversation of the people as they passed by, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking about his power and about his work. But he himself could not go and see Christ. He himself could not find the Savior and hear his word. And so he was greatly disadvantaged compared to others. This man was in a disadvantaged place. Yet we have to say, as we consider Bartimaeus, in another sense, he was a man that was greatly privileged. A man that was greatly privileged. Because though he was blind, and though his blindness hindered him from seeking out the Savior, and from hearing the Savior speak, and from seeing his works, yet he had something that was the all-important thing. And that was, he was a person that had faith. He possessed saving faith. And Christ refers to this in verse 52 here. Notice what Christ says to him. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, yes, he was a disadvantaged man. He was blind. But despite his physical handicap, he was greatly privileged because he had faith. And he possessed faith in Christ. And really we can say, as we consider Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus leaves all men who hear the plain preaching of the gospel without excuse. Because here is a man who was greatly disadvantaged. A man who couldn't follow Christ. A man who couldn't see his mighty works. A man that only heard second hand. And yet, when the opportunity arose, he believed. He cried to Christ. And he was wonderfully saved. And so therefore, he leaves all people without excuse. He leaves every single individual who has ever heard the gospel completely without excuse. Blind Bartimaeus, as Christ came past, responded and cried out for mercy. And was wonderfully saved from his terrible complaint. So this evening I want us to look at Bartimaeus. We can see here blind faith in this man. He was blind, but he possessed faith. And there's a number of things that I want us to consider as we consider Bartimaeus here, this man with blind faith. The first thing I want us to notice is the desire in his faith. The desire, we have this in verses 47 and 48. It says there, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The desire of Bartimaeus is very clearly set forth in his cry to Christ. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. This poor blind man desired the mercy of Christ. That's what he wanted. As Bartimaeus had sat daily by the wayside, he sat there desiring money. He sat there desiring money that he might be able to have a living. But as Christ comes by, as Christ passes this way, Bartimaeus is not seeking for money, but he's seeking for mercy. Mercy of the Savior. And that was his desire here. That was the desire of faith. Mercy from Christ. Mercy is a quality which is often misunderstood. People mix it up with grace and love. And what mercy is, and when we understand this, we see exactly what Bartimaeus sought for. Mercy is feeling for and helping those who are afflicted. Feeling for and helping those who are afflicted. And this is what Bartimaeus asked Christ for. Help me in my great trouble. Help me and deliver me from the miserable state in which I exist. That's what he wanted. He wanted mercy. He wanted Christ to feel for him. He wanted Christ to help him. Because there he existed as a beggar, as a blind beggar in that state of misery. And so he desired for mercy. His faith led him to seek mercy of Christ. And saving faith always does this in the soul of a sinner. It always seeks for mercy. David, as he felt his sin and as he prayed, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. The desire of faith will always be to seek for the mercy of God. For God in compassion to move and to deliver and to save. Saving faith brings us to see our own true state. It brings us to see our own iniquity. It causes us to be aware of the terribleness and the misery of our estate. And out of that misery, we then seek for help. We seek for mercy. And this is what Bartimaeus does. As Bartimaeus sought for mercy, that he might be delivered from the misery of his condition, he was looking for mercy to be saved from blindness, or darkness, we can say. He was looking for mercy to be saved from darkness. Being blind, Bartimaeus existed in a perpetual state of darkness. He lived in darkness every day. His physical handicap impeded him from seeing and experiencing light, from experiencing the beauty of God's creation. He lived every single day in utter darkness as a blind man. The darkness of his condition was the result of his own personal condition. He was not in darkness because there was no light, but he was in darkness for he had not the ability to see the light. And you see, the darkness arose from his own personal condition. The physical condition of this man points to the spiritual condition of all men. Man in sin exists in a state of spiritual darkness. Darkness which is the result of the blinded state of the soul. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the work of salvation is the most beautiful and wondrous work that any man could ever behold, that any man could ever see. But you see, the problem is this. Man in sin exists in that miserable state of darkness. Of darkness. His eyes, or the eyes of his soul, have upon them the scales of sin. And the prophet Isaiah speaks of the result of this terrible darkness. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We've already spoken about how when Christ was on earth, multitudes followed him. But there was also many that rejected Christ. Many that witnessed his miracles. Many that seen his power. Many that heard him preach. And they rejected Christ. Yet they seen the same truth. They heard the same truth. And they seen the same mighty works. But you see, they were in darkness. They were blinded. As we think of Jesus Christ, there is everything in Christ that should move us to desire him. Absolutely everything. In him is found forgiveness for sins and acceptance with God. In him is found peace with God. He has taken our punishment. We are delivered from condemnation and wrath and judgment. What beauty that is. In him is found everlasting life and everlasting joy. In him is found a place in heaven itself. Why would we not desire Christ? Why would man reject him? Well, he rejects him because he's in darkness. Christ is despised and rejected of men. Because men are in darkness. Their souls are blinded to the truth. And so we see this man, he sought for mercy to be saved from the miserable state of darkness. And that's why sinners need mercy. To be delivered from this awful state of darkness where they see no beauty in Christ. He also sought for mercy to be delivered from the awful state of destitution. Destitution. In verse 46, we read of how Bartimaeus begged. His physical condition meant he could not work and earn a living. And so he was reduced to begging that he might be able to support himself. And the mercy he sought from Christ was mercy that he might be saved from this state of destitution. This state of poverty. The poverty of Bartimaeus was the direct result of his blindness. The two went hand in hand. He was poor and destitute because he was blind. He couldn't work. Again, we can see here that which points to man in sin. Man in sin is in a state of spiritual darkness, blinded by the God of this world, as 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us. But with this blindness comes a terrible poverty. An awful poverty. What poverty and destitution man, blinded by sin, exists in. And the end of his poverty is this. He cannot please God. He is not able to please God. He is not able to set anything before God that will give him merit with God. He is so poor. So destitute. Nothing that man can do. Not one thing that man can do. Can earn him any favor or merit with God. Because he's utterly destitute as a sinner. That's why he needs mercy. That's why he needs God to feel for him and to deliver him. Because in his sin he is utterly destitute. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we have come short, we have missed the mark. We could never reach the standard. We can never reach that level that God requires. We have come short. We are destitute of sinners. Therefore, what we need is just mercy. We need mercy. One to feel for us in our miserable estate and to deliver us and to rescue us. King David, who was a man of great financial wealth, said in Psalm 34, verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." You see, David, who like Bartimaeus possessed saving faith, and what was his desire? Mercy. Mercy, that he might be saved from the misery of his poverty. Let me ask you tonight, what is your desire? What is your greatest desire? Is it that God would have mercy upon your soul? Is it that God would have mercy and deliver you out of your darkness? And from the state of destitution in which you exist as a sinner? That's what saving faith desires. That is what Barnabas desired. And so we see the desire in his faith. Notice then not only the desire in his faith, but notice here also the determination of his faith. The determination, verse 48 tells us, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" As the Lord Jesus passed by the place outside Jericho where Bartimaeus sat, Bartimaeus starts to cry out, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And he cried and he cried out and he cried out, so much so that it annoyed all those that were gathered round him. There they were, they were anticipating Christ coming by, and the multitude was gathered together, and they wanted to hear and see the Saviour. And all Bartimaeus would do would cry out, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And people were getting wound up by it. And they said, "Bartimaeus, be quiet! Hold your peace, man! I've heard enough." Bartimaeus continued. And he continued to cry out. And he cried out all the more, and it tells us he cried out a great deal. You see, saving faith brought him to this place where he was absolutely determined that he would not miss the Saviour. He would not miss the Saviour. It gave him this determination to see Christ. This great determination to meet Christ shows us Bartimaeus' faith was shameless. It was shameless. It did not matter what others said to him or thought of him. All he was concerned about was meeting Christ. He wanted to meet the Saviour. He was completely sold out to the truth that Christ was the answer to his need. And so he unashamedly seeks for Christ. He calls for him. And it didn't matter what others said to him. He wouldn't be quiet until he found the one he was seeking for, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, speaking to contrite Israel, said in Deuteronomy 29:13, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts." The Lord Jesus, speaking in Luke's Gospel 13:24, says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." You see, saving faith will not rest until it finds what it's seeking for. It will not rest until it finds that which is that what it's seeking for. And that is why Christ said these things. Strive to enter in. We must strive. We must seek. We must shamelessly call out until we find the one who can save, even Jesus Christ. Christ, when he was on earth, never sought to coax men to pray a prayer of repentance. You'll not find that in the Bible. Christ, when he was on earth, never tried to coax people into making a profession. Not once did he do that. Not once. But instead he preached the truth. And faith brought people to seek him. Faith brought people to seek him. Now, as you have heard the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel, have you sought Christ? And that's the command of Scripture. Bartimaeus sought the Saviour. He was one who strove to enter in. He was one who sought until he found. He was one who called out until he came to experience the joy of salvation. That is those who are saved. They unashamedly seek the Savior. Bartimaeus, after this day he met the Savior, could speak of that time where he shamelessly sought for Christ. He could give a word of testimony, in other words. He could get up anywhere after this and say, listen, I remember the day where I was sitting outside Jericho as a poor blind beggar, and the Lord Jesus Christ come by, and I cried out for His mercy. I cried out that He would save me. I strove, and I found Him. And I am now His child. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that tonight? I sought the Lord and He heard me, like the psalmist said. I sought the Lord. Oh, it's only those that strive enter in. Again, let me repeat it. It is only those that seek find. It is only those that call out that shall be saved. Have you done that? You do not merely know the gospel. You do not merely have a familiarity with the gospel, but there has been that point in your life, just as it was with Bartimaeus, when you cried it, when you sought the Lord, and now you're saved. Oh, he shamelessly came here and sought Christ in faith. As we think here of his determination to seek the Savior, we can also see the strength of his faith. The strength of his faith. Verse 50 tells us what he did. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. As Bartimaeus cast away his garment, and came to Christ, this in itself was a statement. And every word in Scripture is important. And so verse 50 here, where it says that he casting away his garment, we must understand what this means. It's speaking to us about something. What Bartimaeus was saying was, I'm leaving behind my old life. I'm leaving my begging behind. I'm coming to Christ. You see, the garment he cast off would have been the large outer garment. And in Bible times, people used this garment not only for an outer garment, but also for a means of covering at night. They would have slept in this outer garment. The outer garment or the outer coat was so important that if someone borrowed something of you, then you would give your coat as a pledge to them. Or if you borrowed something of someone else, you would give your coat to them as a pledge. And they would keep your coat until you returned that thing that you borrowed off them. So valuable, so important was that coat. It was called a pledge. But in Israel, God gave them a command in Deuteronomy 24 concerning this pledge or this item. And this is what God said. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment. And so God was saying, listen, if someone, some poor man, gives you his coat as a pledge because he's borrowed something off you, don't hold on to it at night. And give it back to him so he's got something to sleep in. Something to keep himself warm in. And this gives us some idea of the importance of this garment, this coat. You see, Bartimaeus cast it aside. He cast it aside in his determination to find Christ. The actions of Bartimaeus show us another wonderful characteristic of saving faith. Saving faith does not drag after it the garments of sin or the coverings of self-righteousness. Instead, it casts it all away and it cries out, Lord, save me. It leaves the old life behind. Seeks Christ. You ask a person who is saved, are you saved? They don't talk about the garment that they wore. I'm not speaking about the physical garment, but I'm speaking about whether they are Protestant or whether they are Presbyterian or Church of Ireland or Free Presbyterian or Baptist. If you ask somebody that's saved, are you saved? Do you know what they speak about? They speak about Christ. They speak about the Savior. But how often we ask someone that's not saved, are you saved? Do you know what they speak about? They speak about what church they go to. They speak about how they read the Bible. They speak about how moral they are. They speak about what persuasion they hold when it comes to politics or something like that. You see, they're focused upon the garment. The outer garment, that's what they're trusting in. But let me say this tonight. If you are to be saved, there must be the casting off of the garment in life, whatever that garment is. And simply and with determination, seeking Christ and Christ alone. That's what you need for salvation. That's what you need for acceptance with God, for forgiveness of sins, for eternal life. Oh, how important it is that you cast off whatever you're trusting in, whatever you're wrapped up in, and come and simply embrace Christ in the gospel. And if you do that, you shall be saved. And so we see the determination of Bartimaeus. The determination in his faith, the desire in his faith. What about the declaration in his faith? Verse 51, we have here his declaration. It says there, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. After Bartimaeus gets the attention of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus asks him a question. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? This is a wonderful question posed by the Saviour. And I love these words, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The Lord Jesus does not ask him, what can I do for you? And that would be a normal question when someone asks for help. Oh, what can I do for you? But Jesus doesn't ask him that. Christ asks him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Unto thee. The question Christ poses reveals to us, Christ, as he works in salvation, works in us. He changes us as individuals. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And that's what salvation does. It changes us as individuals. Christ not only has done the work for us at Calvary's cross, but when we become his people, at that point when we are saved, he comes by his Spirit into our lives and he does a work in us. It is a work in our lives. And of course the Lord Jesus knew what Bartimaeus needed. He knew all things. He knew this poor man was blind. Christ knew all about it. That's why Christ went that way. That's why Christ passed by that day. So that he would meet with Bartimaeus. He knew all about Bartimaeus. Before Christ would work in his life, this man, Bartimaeus, must confess in a very particular way his need. He must confess his need. Blind Bartimaeus had already cried out for mercy. And we've noted that. But now as he stands face to face with the Saviour, it was necessary for him in a particular way to express his need. And that is what he does when he says in verse 51, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, that I might receive my sight. This is such a tremendous declaration of faith. Bartimaeus addresses Christ as Lord, which means my master. My master. And what he was saying is, listen, I'm your disciple. I want to follow you. Bartimaeus was casting himself down at Jesus' feet and saying, I'm yours. You're my master. And that's what he was declaring here as he said, Lord. Then he asks that he might receive his sight. And the simple request shows us that blind Bartimaeus believed Christ was the one who could meet his need. It reveals faith. He asks Christ to do something that no one else could do for him. Bartimaeus would never have dreamt of asking anybody else to do this. But he wasn't standing before anybody else. He was standing before the one and in the presence of the one in whom his faith rested upon. And so he makes this great declaration of his faith. Lord, that I might receive my sight. That I might see. Christ was to stop with us tonight and speak to you and say these wonderful words to you. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What would your response be? What a question. What a wonderful question that was. But what would your response be if Christ was to come into this building tonight, into this gospel service, and if he was to say to you, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Would you own him as Lord? Would you ask him to deal with your greatest need, your sin? Would you say, Lord, save me from my sin? My sin that is damning my soul to the hell itself. Deliver me from the sin that is going to bring the judgment of God upon my head. Is that what you would say? Would you sit in unbelief and not seek for Him and not own Him as Lord? Well, just let me say this tonight. Christ is here. Christ is passing this way in the gospel. And He comes in the gospel and He says these very words to each one tonight. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And He's waiting for your response tonight in the gospel. He's waiting for your response. And He's waiting. And He's waiting in mercy. What will your response be tonight? Will it be a declaration of faith? Or will the Savior wait and you will reject Him? The declaration in Bartimaeus' faith. One more thing in closing. Notice with me the direction of his faith. The direction. Verse 52 tells us, Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What is important to note here in the faith of Bartimaeus is the direction his life took after he met Christ. It was completely in line with the declaration of faith that he had made. The direction his life took was completely in line with what he had just declared. As he declared his faith by saying, Lord, or my master, he was saying, listen, I'm the one that follows you. I am your disciple. I want to live for you. But the direction that his life takes afterwards proves that what he said was actually true. Because he followed Jesus in the way. He didn't just merely make a profession that Christ was his master. But the actions of his life proved that truly he was a changed man. Saving faith, when it is exercised in a sinner's life, always gives new direction to that life. Bartimaeus could now do what he could never have dreamt of doing before. He could now follow Christ. He could join with the multitude. He could go and listen to Christ preach. He could witness and see his mighty works that he performed. He could witness all of these things. He was now a follower of Christ. He could also speak to others about the power and grace of God and salvation, because he himself had experienced it. He could witness for Christ. There were those that knew Bartimaeus beforehand, and they could see what a transformation was made in his life. What a complete transformation. Bartimaeus could say to everyone that he came into contact with, all things are past away, behold, all things have become new. You see, the evidence that Bartimaeus could now see was in the new direction his life took. That was the evidence. Because he was now a follower of Christ, he could do that which he previously could not do. He could follow Christ. After meeting with Christ that day, this man staggered back to his usual place by the roadside. And there he continued to beg, and then after the day's begging was done, he needed someone to lead him back to the place that he slept at night. And yet all along Bartimaeus said, I can now see. I have met Christ, I can now see. I am a follower of Christ. And yet in his life there was no change. He continued to beg every day. He still needed someone to guide him and lead him. He would say, listen, you're talking nonsense, man. You're talking nonsense. Your life is just proving the fact that you can't see. You need someone to lead you. You need to beg for a living. You're not a follower of Christ. We would call that an absolute ridiculous thing. But how many who claim to be Christians, they do just that. They claim to have met Christ. They claim to be His. They make a profession of salvation. You know the evidence of their life is? they're still sitting in darkness. And that's what their life is saying. There's no following Christ in the way. There's no walking after him. Bartimaeus' faith did not just bring him to Christ, but it kept him with Christ. And that's what saving faith does. It just doesn't lead us to Christ. It just doesn't lead us to that point where we cry unto him for mercy, but it keeps us with Christ. It enables us to continue to live with Christ. God's word says, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. Saving faith keeps us. Keeps us looking on to Jesus. You know, in the New Testament, it does not speak much about backsliding. And that's something you must note. The New Testament does not speak much about backsliding. It speaks often, but about false professions. And if you study the preaching of Christ when he was on earth, Christ spoke often. And he spoke parables and gave illustrations often about those that weren't truly his, but yet professed to be his. He did this on regular occasions. He spoke often. Do you know what we do? We speak often about backsliding. And very little about false professions. And that must bring us to the point where we have to ask the question. Where do we stand? Where do we stand? Let's just each one of us tonight consider this. What direction is our lives going in? Yes, you're in God's house tonight, and perhaps you're looking around and saying, listen, there's none in really that I know of that's unsaved. But God in his sovereignty and mercy has ordained this service, brought it into being. We must consider our own hearts tonight. What direction is our lives headed? Are we following the Lord in the way? Are we following Christ in his word? Is that the direction our lives are headed? Is all that we have tonight is a profession? A date? A point in time? Bartimaeus, yes, he had that time when he met Christ. And he saw it and he called out and he strove and he entered in. But every day he followed Christ. And that's what saving faith does. Therefore, where do you stand tonight? As we examine Bartimaeus, as we think of this man in closing, we must look at the direction our life is headed. Do we continue to live with Christ every day? I trust that we will examine our hearts tonight. That we will be honest before God. That God will speak to us. And that we each one will make our calling and election sure. And if tonight God has spoken to you and your heart is troubled, then follow the example of Bartimaeus. And cry out to Christ. Don't leave the house of God until the matter is settled. Cry out to Christ where he's passing this way. And he will have mercy upon you. And he will save your soul. I trust you will. That God will bless his word to each one of our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.